Gail going to be talking about is our inheritance in Christ. Thank you, Ted.
Yep.
It's a real interesting topic, and there's a lot of information about that. And when you look at my lesson, you could actually expand each item into its own lesson. With that, we're going to start with a number of sections we're going to look at. First of all, God gave us our inheritance. It was through God's generosity that he gave us. We're also going to look at how do we receive our inheritance in Christ. We're also going to cover what blessings do we receive with our inheritance in Christ. Fourth point is that in Christ, the Jews received an inheritance, and also in Christ, Gentiles received an inheritance. And our inheritance in Christ is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit. God gave us the pledge of the Holy Spirit. And also, we are going to look at Peter's description of our inheritance in Christ. He had stated that our inheritance is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven, and his children are protected by the power of God. With that, I'd like to have us turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and I will be reading verses 3 through 14. Beginning with verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as children, as sons, through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's only possession to the praise of his glory. So we studied this. Charlie led us in the discussion several weeks ago. And what we can glean from this, God gave us our inheritance by his will. His will is for us to receive as all that he has for us. We also find that in this passage, his grace, it's his unmerited, undeserved favor. We also see that he gave us his inheritance for his glory. It is his desire to glorify himself by giving us spiritual wealth. Also his power. It's his power that creates all, preserves all, and provides all. And also his love. He loved us. He gave us his only begotten son. We also see that it's his pleasure that he gave us our inheritance. Gives him great joy to give to his children. Just like us today, when we give to our children, it's a pleasure that we do. We see also that his inheritance is for his purpose. Before the foundation of the world, he planned our inheritance. He gave us that. We also see that it's his calling. He calls us into salvation, sanctification, and service. His inheritance, our name is on his will for eternity. And also we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ for good works. So how do we receive this inheritance? When we obey the gospel, we are included in the inheritance of the saints. In him, that is Christ, we have adoption. In him, that is Christ, we have redemption. And in him, we have an inheritance. Believers in Christ, believers in Jesus Christ are referred to as God's children. In John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, we read, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will, but of God." So we are called God's children when we obey the gospel. So what is our inheritance? Our inheritance is eternal life, heaven. One of the greatest blessings that God has given us is the inheritance, or rather the privilege of becoming his inheritance or his heritage. The moment we are saved, we become the heritage of God. We have many blessings in this inheritance, and they start now as we are on this earth. We see that, number one, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his glory and excellence. We also, in our inheritance, are partakers of the divine nature of Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Peter says, "For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escape the corruption that is in the world by lust." We also have power and anointing in the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said to the apostles, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and even to the utmost parts of the earth." In 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, John says, "As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as he anointed teaches you about all things, and is true and not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him." We also have forgiveness of sins and freedom from guilt. 1 John 1:9, we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness." In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, "Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." We also have divine health and healing in our inheritance. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. "He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases." That is the Christ. We also have freedom from poverty, assurance that our needs will be met. Jesus said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worthy more? Are you worth more, much more than they?" So God's going to provide for us. Also, in our inheritance, we have the prosperity in all things, including our souls. In 3 John 3, chapter 1, verse 2, we read, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your souls prospers." We also have love, joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, we read, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Also, in our inheritance, we have victory and freedom from the bondage of sin. We read in the Roman letter in chapter 8 and verse 11, "But if the spirit of him who raises Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to you immortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." When we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. Also, our inheritance, we are more than conquerors in all things. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, "But in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." So God is on our side, and he will assist us in everything. We also receive an abundance of grace for every good work. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, we read, "And God is able to make all grace abound to us, to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed." We also, our inheritance, receive an understanding of the mystery of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, "He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him." In our inheritance, we receive divine guidance. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, Paul wrote to the saints at Rome, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." In our inheritance, we receive happiness. If we go to the Beatitudes, we can read Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We also receive security in our inheritance. Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2. We read, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." That should be our attitude, the same as David had. We also, in our inheritance, are co-laborers with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, we read, "For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's fields, God's building. We also are seated in the heavenly places with Christ." In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, "And rise up, raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We could also, the prophet Isaiah sums this up in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. "Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation." So our inheritance is not only what we're looking for, but also what we receive today as we dwell on earth. In Christ, Jews received an inheritance. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, God's promise to Abraham, he said, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." So Abraham went forth as the Lord has spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So he promised the Jews an inheritance. In Psalms chapter 2, verse 8, David writes, "Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as you possess." And in Psalms chapter 16, verses 5 and 6, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my inheritance is beautiful to me." And the Hebrew writer writes about those Jews that will receive an inheritance in chapter 9 of verse 15. "For this reason, he," that is Christ, "is the mediator of the new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And he goes on to write in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, that is a land inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." So in Christ also, Gentiles receive an inheritance by hearing the word of truth, which is the gospel, and believing in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, we read, "In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise." And Paul writes to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 5, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. So our inheritance in Christ is guaranteed by the Holy Spirit, by the sealing of the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until we take possession of it. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possessions to the praise of his glory." So the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, Paul writes to saints at Corinth, "Now he who established us with you in Christ anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge." So he has given us the Holy Spirit. So how does Peter describe our inheritance in Christ? If we go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 through 5, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day." So our inheritance in Christ is imperishable. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in it and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So that's what we should be doing, looking to heaven. Peter also describes our inheritance in Christ as imperishable. In 1 Peter 1, chapter 22 to 23, we read, "Since you have, in obedience to truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is true to living and enduring word of God." The word of God should be our guide in our life so that we can receive our inheritance. Our inheritance in Christ is undefiled. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 7, verses 25 and 26, "Therefore he is also able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them," that is Christ Jesus. "For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, who is holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." That is Jesus Christ, our mediator and intercessor. As we look at our inheritance as undefiled, in Revelation we read in chapter 21, verses 24 through 27, "The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed, and they will bring the glory and the honor of nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So our inheritance is in Christ, and we have to get our names into the Book of Life by being as faithful as we can as we dwell on this earth. Our inheritance, as Peter says, is unfading. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, "And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true." And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So our inheritance in Christ is unfading. Also, our inheritance of Christ is reserved in heaven. Hebrew writer in chapter 11, verse 8 through 11, we read, "By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. But he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So God built this for us, and we should strive to secure this through God's grace and mercy. Our inheritance in Christ, we are protected by God's power. In Jude chapter 1, verse 24 to 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Christ, to Jesus Christ, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. So God's not going to put a stumbling block that's going to cause us to lose our inheritance. But we have to be faithful in all things. So our inheritance was given to us by God, by his mercy and grace. He gave us our inheritance in Christ. We received our inheritance in Christ through our obedience to the gospel. We also enjoy many, many spiritual blessings now on earth and also later in heaven. Both Jews and Gentiles have the opportunity to receive this inheritance, but you have to be in Christ. The Holy Spirit is God's pledge. It's God's guarantee to us for our inheritance in Christ. And as Peter describes our inheritance, it's imperishable, it's undefiled, will not fade away, it's reserved in heaven, and also we are protected by the power of God. Each and every one of these points can be drawn out into a lesson. But I hope you would look at this and study this inheritance as we are in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, we invite you into Christ. And if you have anything that we can say or do to assist you, just let us know.